Did you know that it's been since 1983 that Ancestry, what we know as Ancestry.com, but Ancestry has been around? The 23andMe, the subsidiaries, have all been in the business of helping us shed insight into those who've been a part of our family background. Treasure troves of new relationships, connections with people previously unknown to us, discovering details of those we've heard rumors of as a part of our families, stories and documents that fill holes of our family lore, kind of like piecing together the puzzle of what we now know of the fullness of our genealogy. An awful lot like what Tom read for us. I saw your faces. You all were just so happy that you weren't liturgist today. Thanks be to God that he got the opportunity to read today. He did a great job. The gospel writer of Matthew wanted us to know that the Christ comes from a long line of God-fearing people, and wanted us to know, each and every one, of who those generations were. 14 generations between Abraham and David. 14 generations between David and the oppression and exile under the Babylonians. And then 14 generations unto the coming of Jesus. Those of you who are doing your math, I'm watching it in your minds. And we remember some of those stories from Sunday school. And we might even have heard some of them on Sunday mornings. Other ones, we've not heard those names before at all. We scratched our heads as we saw them. As we dig into those stories, though, we know that some of those people were, let's just say, a little prickly. And let me define that just right off the bat for us. Prickly people, I want to define this way. Those people who, just in getting through life, are hard to get close to. Prickly people are just those people going through life that are just a little bit hard to get close to. I want to clarify, I'm not talking about people who are toxic. I'm not talking about people who are destructive, but just people who are just a little bit hard to get close to. Maybe they've had their defense mechanisms up a little bit, like the porcupine or like the hedgehog that we were talking about here with the kids. It's a little bit hard to understand them sometimes. This is deeply a part of our ancestors of faith. And their stories aren't swept under the rug. In our biblical narrative, they are a vital part of the genealogy of Jesus. They are very much spelled out in the Bible. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about those defense mechanisms for a moment. When we think about defense mechanisms, one of the first ones that we think about is denial. Denial is refuting what's going on even when it's right in front of you. So, when we heard all of those lists of names, one of the names you may have heard, it was a long list, I certainly understand if this one didn't jump out at you, was Judah. Judah, son of Jacob and Leah, ends up, if you remember his story, unknowingly, this is going to sound like a soap opera really quickly, impregnating his daughter-in-law by thinking she's a temple prostitute. Look in Genesis 38 if you're going to want the whole story here. And he attempts to deny the whole thing, the paternity. And he's already denied her marriage to his sons, which he's supposed to have done through the Levirate marriage and tradition. His defense mechanism is completely understandable. And yet Tamar, we heard her name as well, one of the five women within the genealogy, calls him to responsibility, the continuation of the line of Jesus. Judah becomes father to Perez, to Zerah, continuing this genealogy. The sweet gum seeds that we handed out earlier, I wonder if you knew that they were in high demand last year. Do any of you have them on your property? If you do, they were in very high demand last year. This prickly and seemingly unhelpful sea pod made a crucial contribution to us last year. The sea capsule found within it actually has an acid within it that is necessary for Tamiflu. If you've not needed Tamiflu before, I'm so glad that you haven't. Tamiflu is what's often prescribed if you've had a confirmed case of the flu. Hopefully, it's lessening the contagion or perhaps shortening your own experience of the flu. So last year, when the flu was raging and medication was in short supply, the prickly source within the sweet gum was necessary for more of Tamiflu. Isn't it just like God to put within something incredibly prickly exactly what you and I need for our dependable source of health and wellness? Just like the genealogy of Jesus. As I was reading through the genealogy within Matthew, I found myself with another example, perhaps a more familiar one that jumped out at you as well. David is a name that so many of us have named or are familiar with, a man after God's own heart who had a little trouble, perhaps, with some accountability. David, known within the genealogy of Jesus that we just read, for the wife of Uriah, that's Bathsheba, as we might recall, for wanting to be in relationship with her, so he made it so. David had Uriah killed in order to marry Bathsheba, and he rationalized, that's the next defense mechanism, his actions from start to finish, to bring the events in line with his own hopes. Rationalization, putting something into a different light, offering up a different expectation. David was prickly, particularly when he wanted something to be just as he hoped it to be. I can imagine that the biblical text isn't the only place that you and I have seen somebody rationalizing something. I'm wondering if you have somebody in your own mind that you're beginning to think of as you're holding that prickly sweet gum. Earlier this week, I gathered with Women in Professional Ministry for our annual Advent gathering, and our bishop, Peggy Johnson, shared with us a meditation on another kind of pine, the jack pine. This tall tree grows about 30 to 70 feet in height and begins with the branches that are many feet off the ground. The jack pine she shared with us is native to the northwestern part of the country and into Canada. However, the most interesting thing she shared with us is that the pine cone remains completely closed off, keeping the seeds for the generations of pine cones inside until one crucial thing happens. It requires fire in order for the cone to open. Fire is the only way that the pine cone will open and release its seeds. It could be years that it remains closed. The heat from the fire causes the pine to release those seeds. She told us these kinds of cones are called Ceratonius cones. Talk about a particular kind of defense mechanism. Bishop Johnson reminded us that you and I, we often go through these kinds of challenging times to become more fully who God has called us to be. Our seeds planting hopes that are only released in a particular kind of circumstances. This Advent season, we often hear the scripture from the prophet Zechariah 13:9, and I'll put in them a fire, refine them like silver, and test them as gold is tested. And they'll call upon my name, and I'll say, they are my people. And they will say, that is my God. Forest rangers often intentionally, you all probably know this, set controlled fires to release those seeds from the jack pines when they've not been released across years, to care not just for the one tree, but for the health of the whole forest. It was the prophet Isaiah that we heard that God spoke to for a holistic vision of the whole community, bringing health and welfare for the people. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed that to the beaten down and unappreciated people, that God's vision was for a leader who first feared God and would make decisions on what the people needed. The prophet said, I know that this might be a time in which you're disappointed, but look to the future. A better time is coming. Even when predatory animals would be alongside their prey. I'll add this in. A time is coming when those you might be irritated by who are a little bit prickly will be no longer. So live into that way already and let the children lead you because they already live in that way. Nationally, we seem to be moved by the concept of children leading us. We're moved by a Ruby Bridges who leads the way for children to go into schools even when anti-racism works, makes us uncomfortable with ourselves. We're moved by a Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old Swedish activist who's speaking out against climate change and its impact for generations to come, even when we're doubtful about her own conclusions. We're curious about Muzan Alahan, a Syrian activist working out of the United Kingdom to keep Syrian girls in school, even if our own lack of knowledge about her gets in our way. And this has been across generations. The U.S. State Department of Justice established a permanent home in 1935. And they started with a public works project in the Art Deco building. They had murals, 61 of them. And this one here, started in 1938, is called Contemporary Justice and the Child. It took 4 years for this particular mural. It's in the Department of Justice building still today. And if you look at it, it's Isaiah 11. It's essentially a little child leading in the midst of our Department of Justice building today. Some years, on the second week of Advent, we hear the voice of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, by all accounts, would have been called a prickly person. I don't think anybody would have said, I'd like to live next door to John the Baptist. Nobody would have said, he's the one I want to go and sit and have tea with. But John the Baptist's words call us over and over again to repentance and to change. They call us to bear fruits worthy of repentance. They don't call us just to say, I'm sorry for bumping into you. But they call us to contemplate how it is God is moving, and then do something as well, under his tutelage, his encouragement. Preparing for the reign of God is a life-changing work for us and for creation. You and I, we have, like the porcupine, defense mechanisms because we've been hurt at some point before. I gave you a sweet gum today because I want to invite you to give it to someone else. I know that all of us at some point, I'll speak for myself at least, have been prickly. I bet there's some of us who'd rather not even touch the sweet gum. Joan Lehman made all of these for us. God bless her. She touched 200 of these, and she did it very kindly. We spoke this morning about other people and their defense mechanisms. But we have a couple, too. They begin from this important place that gave prey a shot with their predators. For you and I, we need to give others a second chance, and sometimes a whole bunch of second chances, just like God has been giving us not just one second chance, but a lot of second chances. So let us give second chances to the prickly people in our lives to reconnect with God's vision of peace in God's world. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.